Blog Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history. Being sponsored by United Theological Seminary and Bible College.
Good evening to each and every one. As we go through a period of time where we have ample time to study our history, it is my prayer that we will listen closely. And I also would just like to say, as I proceed with my history teaching on the origin of man out of Africa, and even mainly getting into the biblical perspective of the African-American or the African place in the Holy Bible, I would like to just tell you, do your own research. I would give you the information, and just don't take what I'm just saying. Look up, take the time and look it up, because these are facts that I'm giving to you. And I would just tell you to research it, because it would make you have pride in yourself. We like this thing of pride, because I watched just the other night, and I watched the history of the Bible, and I believe the only person I saw they showed was black was Samson. And knowing that there were no Caucasians in the Bible at that time that they showed that Egypt, Ethiopia, and all the rest of the area were black or people of color, but for some reason they only show whites, and that is to make you have low self-esteem when you figure you have no part in the Bible. And we just every evening that I've been coming on, I try to give you a refresher, because those who are just tuning in, I want you to know where all of this start from. All of this start from, we know about the Garden of Eden, but I'm going to go further back than saying the Garden of Eden. I'm going further back to the creation of man, the origin of man. And we're going to look back at the beginning, what I started off on the first night, talking about anthropology, the study of man, and then just do a little archaeology and look at things and find out where do we fit in? Where do we fit in with the thing about anthropology? Where do I fit in? Where do blacks fit in about the study of man? Were we apes? Did we evolve from being apes to man? And that have been refuted by archaeologists and anthropologists. And I'd like to start off by just saying, you know, just tracing DNA and others back, we could find that there was a lady called Lucy, and they found fossils, what they call Australopithecus. And before raising the forensic, fossil, the skeleton was found in Ethiopia in 1974. And not simply because her upending and over-understanding of the process, the evolution, but also because it became household name. She was found by Donald Johansson, and Tom Gray, who was looking for rock. And this says that Lucy is with about 3.18 million years of age. And they noticed that they found the pelvis. And the pelvis refuted Darwin, because the pelvis was not that of a monkey that walked bent over with the arms touching the ground, but walked upright. It was the pelvis of a of a human that like we have today in contemporary humans. Also, we're going to look at Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Leakey, in February the 6th in 1913, and then in December 1966, were the British philanthropist, a paleontologist, who discovered the first fossil, proconsul skull, which is extinct, which is an ape, which is now believed to be the ancestor to the human. But now, listen what they say. Also, they discovered a robust, most of this came from what you call the Odiva guards in Tanzania and East Africa, and several archaeological, anthropological fossils of an ancestors were found there. And they were human. While excavating the Odiva guards in Africa in 1960, Louis Leakey found several artifacts. They found that back then that man was capable of making different weapons, and they had arrowheads, and this was going back millions of years. Now, and when you look back on it, it takes it back to 2.3, and that's Australopithecus, is like 3.18 million. Yes, and then you have Zenzanthropus. Now, Zenzanthropus, you have to understand, Zenzanthropus go back at least 2.7 million years. And then when you look up, when they say Zenzanthropy simply means Northeast Africa. Zenzanthropy. You can look these terms up. And you can look up Professor Leakey, and that's why I was laughing when I thought about everything. If we say we're African Americans, how should a white person or a Caucasian say, I'm African, European, and American? Because we all came from there. But I have some very important information on this. You know, now, if we trace back the DNA of maternal heritage, the mitochondrial DNA within our cells, all humans have the theoretical common ancestor. Every one of us have a theoretical ancestor. This woman, known as mitochondria Eve, lived between 100 to 200 thousand years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA, which they only found loose. As a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to not Lucy, but Eve. Within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans. Since Eve time, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups all over the continent. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say this. Now, that was a man about 315 B.C., 315 years before Christ, that they found in South Africa, is the closest relative yet known to humanity with common to the female ancestry of mitochondrial Eve. He was a fisherman along the coast of southern Africa with a close genetic match to Eve. St. Helen Bay in South Africa is where they found his skeletal remain. The archaeologist was Andrew Smith at the university, and they did the DNA at the University of Cape Town. He was the first ancient human from the Sub-Saharan, the cradle of our humanity, which they call the cradle of civilization. sub-Saharan Africa, right below Ethiopia and Kenya, not in the jungle part, but sub-Saharan Africa. That's where we all came from. Now, I also want to make a statement, and this is a very profound statement. I was just shocked that I did my research, and in my research, I researched, and I was wondering, well, if we all came to Africa, why there are blacks, all blacks are in Africa, why they are dark-skinned in Africa, and why whites live in Europe if whites left. And it was called a section that said out of Africa, and people began to leave and go abroad. And they said that when Africans got up and moved up to Europe into colder climates, they went through mutation. And if you know what a mutation means that it's not pure, that it goes through this change. We also know what albino is. We know what albino black. There are black people who have children that come out white, blonde hair, but most of the time they have a curly. But you they have the no skin pigmentation, melanin in their skin, and that's the same thing with white or Caucasian. They like melanin. And they are a mutation. They are not a pure color, a pure race. That's why when you have children, if you ever notice that you're dominant and you're regressive, if a kid is born by a black father or a black mother, that kid and the father is white with a black woman, and even if the male is black and the female is white, the child always going to come out with the dominant gene. And the dominant genes is not a recessive gene. That the recessive gene will be your white gene. That's why they're always going to end up being African Americans, or either they're going to be not a white person. And I just want to say to us, those that are listening, there are more people of color in the world than that they are Caucasian or from European countries. All you have to do is think about China. It's the largest continent. The next largest is India, and the next largest is Africa. The next is when you start counting South America and America, and you do that, you'll find out that the people of color there are more people of color than any other race or nationality in the world make up people of color. That Caucasians make up least of the population than anyone else. Now, I spoke on that, and the reason I'm speaking on that, because I want you to know that mankind didn't come from Asia. Mankind didn't originate from Europe. When they go to find the oldest fossils of humankind, and the Bible called it Adam or Adam, which means mankind, you go look for it in sub-Saharan Africa. In Africa, you could find fossils of human beings that walked upright millions of years. And so that refutes. And I just want to say, I've always never agreed with Darwin with his theory of evolution, because there are zoos. We have a zoo here in Baton Rouge, as the largest zoo in New Orleans, Audubon Zoo. We have the Baton Rouge Zoo. But I've never seen, in many, many years, I've never seen a monkey turn into a human. We talk about how over time, over a process of time, but it never did. They don't do it. So Darwin, I don't believe what Darwin has to say one bit about that. I totally disagree. And as I begin to look at things, I begin to study even further, because I wanted to know for myself why I had these things, trying to figure out why are all televating Bible characters are white, while all pictures of Bible characters such as angels and disciples and the prophets and kings are always white. Blacks have anything to do with the Bible? Why some blacks call the Bible a white man's book? And this is what I'm trying to, I've did my thesis, and those were some questions I wanted to answer in my thesis. And I began to do a lot of research. And I started off thinking about in Genesis when God said that he said, let us make man. But he goes on further and he says, and he formed man from the dust of the earth. I've never seen white dust. I've never seen white dirt. I've seen red dirt. I've seen grayish brown dirt. But I have never seen white dirt. So I begin to think about it. And so unless they bleach the dirt. And now I continue to begin to look at these different things. And I thought about it as I looked over and then I started reading the Bible. And the Bible started talking about the Garden of Eden. And it started talking when it dealt with the Garden of Eden. It was saying about the Hidekia and they talked about the Gion and the Pishon and talked about how the Gion and Webster Dictionary is now called the Nile, talking about it encompassed Ethiopia. And it talks about the Pishon. And what they were saying, the land of Havilah, and Havilah is the sons of Ethiopia. And if you look up the name Havilah, you'll find that name synonymous with Ethiopia. Used for the land of Cush, Ethiopia. And the word Cush means burnt face. And that was talking about the color of the people of that land, call them burnt face. They even call Egypt real name, but people call Kemet. And it doesn't mean black dirt. It means the people mean black. Kemet mean a Kim mean black. You can look it up for yourself. Now they say where the Garden of Eden was located, if you notice, they give some rivers. But now these very rivers that they give, the Nile does not run through Asia. But the Nile runs right in North Africa. I started researching it, and it was talking about the land of Sheba and talking about the flow from Africa continent all the way over to the other, because we know that there was a flood and that the landmass could have been separated from the flood. There had been seen a rift. If you go through anthropology and different other things, looking at geology rather than anthropology, as you look at geology, you'll find out that way the Red Sea is, that those parts touch. If you look at where the Mediterranean is separated Africa from different parts of the European continent, you can see it fits like a puzzle. But now I truly believe that they were hooked together. I do not believe that the Hidekia River is the Tigris River. They have the name of the Euphrates. And I would submit to you today that because the Hidekia River was supposed to run east and west, and it does not. Today the Tigris River run north and south. So I've seen some different things in there. And they put everything in around the Euphrates. And they say Euphrates, they want to say that's the land where everything come from. But no, theoretically, the Bible really do starts off in different areas from Egypt. And knowing one thing we have to look at, too, if the Garden of Eden had every animal, every reptile, every insect, it could not be in the side of one state. It had to be larger than something larger than Texas and larger than if you would take Texas and Alaska put together for the start off just with the people. But It had to be a warm climate because certain animals you do not find in cold weather. Now, I want you to understand this, too. As I began to study, I thought about, as I began to look into the Bible, I wanted to know, and I looked up different names, and we were talking about in the book how they was talking about the different people who had the dark skin, the people. They talk about, here it is, when you go to it, they say Noah at the flood, he had sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And there was and the three had wives, and then you had Noah and his wife, which meant eight. Well, they said that Ham is the father of Africa. They say Shem is the father of the Shemites, the Shemitic people, or the children of Israel, or the Hebrew. And then you had Japheth, which is the father of the white race. Now, if you pay close attention to it, I want you to pay close attention when it goes to talk about Japheth, and they get in that around that 10th chapter talking about Japheth in your Bible. If you have a Bible, you can look it up. And in that 10th chapter of Genesis, it talks about the seed of Japheth. And the reason I'm going to Japheth right now, because it starts off. And the reason I want you to get to know this, and I ask those who are listening, if you have your Bible, to underline this in Genesis, the 10th chapter, and starting at verse 1, because, and I'm going to stop at verse 3, because 1 verse, 10 chapter 1 and 2, 3, is because I want you to underline a name, because you're going to hear that name even today. And though these are people that's in the Holy Land that says that they are Israelites and are not. And now I want to show you something, because to be an Israelite, you have to come off the lineage of Shem. Now, I want you to pay close attention, and this is how it reads. Now, these are the generations of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madea, and Javan, and Tubala, and Mesha, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. You could stop, underline that word, Ashkenaz. That is one of the largest group of people who inhabit the Holy Land right now. They call themselves Ashkenaz Jew, which there is no such thing as an Ashkenaz Jew. There is no such thing as an Ashkenaz Jew, because you have to come off the lineage of Shem, not off the lineage of Japheth. The other large group of people that's in the Holy Land even today are not real Israelites or so-called Jews. They are so-called Jews. See, they're Jews and they're not. They're Sephardim. They're from Sephardim. They are really from Spain. They're everywhere around Spain today in Portuguese. They are not. That's where they're from. And then you have the Khazar that come from north of Turkey. They're in the land. They have no Israelite blood in them. The covenant was made with Israel. The term Jew is a term that come from Yehuda, a lot of, in the Hebrew and the Greek. Yeah, a lot of, L-O-U-D-A-I, Lada. And in the Hebrew, it was Yehuda, because there's no such thing as a J. Now, there are people that say that they are, but to be a call yourself a Jew, you could just take up the religion or practice what they practice and call yourself one. That's what they are. They are not the bloodline. The bloodline of true Israelites are not white. And I'm going to prove this to you. In my report, and not my report, but in my thesis to get my master's, I did some research. And one of the research I did was in the World Mark of Nations. And in the World Mark of Nations, I found out through research, looking up who were over where Abraham came from. Now, the Bible talks about, even if you read your Bible and you go into your Bible, and you're going to find out that they call a place called Nimrod, where Nimrod was in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. They said that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before God. Excuse me, that's in your text. But it was a mighty hunter before God. Now, when they built the Tower of Babel, they were building. That's where the place around the area where Abraham came from, which was called Ur the Chaldees, or Manasseh, in that area, Ur, or the Chaldees. But now, you have to understand that Nimrod was called a mighty hunter before the Lord, and the area in which Shem resided in was called the land of Nimrod. And I'm about to put a shocker, and you can look this up if you want to. I was Googling and searching, and I wanted to know what color was the Sumerians, or the people that was in that area where Abraham come from about 500 years. And I found out that, and then I wanted, what color were they? And they said that the people were chocolate, and they had short, stoop nose. That mean a short, fat nose. Some had straight hair, some had curly like sheep. And if you ever look at the Assyrians, out of Babylonians, the Assyrians, Hannibal, all you see is like the kids wear today, the hair with the little twitted up hair and plaited up beard, curly beard and curly up hair. The people were of African descent. They look like what we look today. It's all written before us, but the problem with us was after we were brought here to America, and many white scholars have written about it, but we don't pick the books up to find it out because I want to say it this way. I've always been very inquisitive. Inquiring minds want to know, why is this that way? I've always asked questions. I would like to know. And I was inquiring, and after I inquire and I study, and then I come analytical, and I'm going, well, if the people were chocolate, that's darker than myself. And that's where the Abraham came from. And I wanted to know, why would Abraham come from there? If he came from there, well, what color was he if that's the area he came from? If he came from the land of Nimrod, what color was he if he came from Sumer? And then I researched the world modern nation further, and it said that it was an Ethiopian civilization. Midianites. It's all right before us. It's always been right before our eyes. Abraham met a person, the first person in the Bible, the first high priest in the Bible, name was Melchizedek. He was the high priest of Salem. That meant he was a Canaanite. Evidently, he knew God because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek when he went and rescued his nephew Lot from what it was, four or five kings that captured them when they separated. Now, when you look at these things, you wonder, like, well, wait a minute. My eyes are beginning to open up. I'm beginning to pay closely to attention to things because even, and you know, as we look at it, you'll find out that all of this stuff points to you. I say, you are that man. You remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and King Nathan went and told him about, and he said, the man should surely die. Well, the question I asked you today, to tell you, not tell you today, But the Bible is talking about you. You are that man, okay? You are the man that the Bible is talking about. You are the very person whom the Lord started his people with. You are Hebrews. You are a black race of people, black Hebrews. Now, I want you to get this because I really want you to pick up on this. I really want you to pick up on this. I was reading about the black man in the Old Testament, and I thought something, and I knew this. I had part of this within my thesis. You know, it said the King James Version was complete and presented to King in 1611. Now notice this is going into slavery. Their presentation speech praised the king, gave him full credit for having seen the need, such as work and presenting according to their speech. Now, I want you to understand this. Another point in evidence, the desire of English translators to make scripture better understood among English-speaking people can be noted in the title often conferred. Now, first of all, the people are called lords. The children of Israel don't call people lord. It's God. You know, this custom was very definitely not Hebrew. It wasn't a Hebrew custom. No student of Hebrew religion or culture can conceive of hearing an ancient Hebrew addressing a man by the same name that he addressed God. Nobody would do that. Not one Hebrew would call somebody Lord. You know, you heard the movie The Lord of the Rings. You have to understand that. Now, I want you to understand who wrote, who had the Bible interpreted. Now, I want you to listen at this. No student of Hebrew religion, culture, or conceived hearing an ancient Hebrew addressing a man by the same name he addressed God. A man of the ancient Judaism was a man, prophet, priest, king, rabbi, Nazareth, miracle worker, never Lord. Read the word Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word should not be Lord. This has to be a special adaptation so that feudal English, England would be able to appreciate the position and the power the man understood the reference. Unfortunately, indeed, it has been for black people in the English-speaking world in particular and the Western world in general. The King James translation did not employ the Bible text, the term Cush, which should be in the Bible. You don't see Cush, or the English equivalent Greek word Ethiopia. If they had done so, then English Bible would present a clear picture of the people involved. 17th century English was very similar with the black man from South Saharan Africa. The Greeks had been there, they knew. The Roman had planted there, they knew. And the Muslim long since, they knew about the black man's land. They knew about Ethiopia. They knew about Egypt. But King James left it out. He called the Sudanese people Negroes. Now it's important that we understand who wrote this, who wrote some of the things in the Bible that you're supposed to be subservient to your master. Now, he was involved in slave trade, so. Or call somebody Lord. You don't call no man Lord. Now, I want you to understand this because I want you to understand exactly about the writing of the Bible by King James and his interpretation may not always be the correct one that's going to show us the truth, because the same people that interpreted that scripture, some of the things he they use to denigrate blacks, to make us seem to be servants. And we have to listen to it closely. See, the Holy Scripture in the English tongue, amen, they declared that they had given the English-speaking people what they precisely what they want in simplicity. But at the same time, slave trade had begun, and they had to show and keep what they needed, and that was to keep the Negroes, who they would call slaves, out of it, and said that we should be servants. They took different terms out of the Bible, like Ethiopia. All these terms should be in the Bible. Egypt, Ethiopia. They depicted the Ethiopian as not being black, but as being almost white, and that's not so. You have brown-skinned Ethiopians. You have Africans of all. If you ever take a trip to Africa, you'll find out all Africans do not look alike. There are a variety of Africans. Some Ethiopians are real dark. Some of them are light. Some Israelites are light-skinned. Some are dark. And that's how African-Americans are today. But a lot of us are mixed. But during that time, we have to understand that from where we came. And I was just more than adamant to say that throughout the time of Israel, and I want to stipulate this very highly, in chapter 11, you're going to find that the children of Shem stayed in what we call now Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and all in that area in Turkey and Assyria, Syria and Assyria. But the children of Japheth went into Europe. Now, I want you to understand that they left out the Bible around the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. Look at it. Read it. Please do so. Caucasian left out the Bible in the book of Genesis, not to return until about 400 or 500 years before Christ, with the coming, amen, of Alexander the Great. That's when they marched back into the Bible. Before then, they had nothing to do with the Old Testament from Abraham all the way past David. They didn't come back until Malachi and Zephaniah, well, Malachi and some others kind, and Micah. Now, I want you to see the Hermetic race and language and civilization, archaeological discoveries of rocks, written annals, and ancient cuneiform record have conclusively demonstrated that the Hermetic Negro were the early cells of the African Ethiopian Empire had for ages dominated Ur. Now, this is where Abraham came from, Ur the Chaldees. Chaldea were a mixture of Semites and Hamites. Others are a pure African Ethiopian breed and Hermetic race. Those who were mixed and strong, had strong what they call Negroid features. This is what it says in the Mark of Nations. The early Semites and Hamites possessed deep, dark skin, woolly African hair, yellow and white hair found among the ancient Semite Hebrew was feared and socially shunned. If you want to look at it by the hair color, and if you had the white hair, you was a different color. In Leviticus, the 13th chapter, verse 16 and through the 6, 30 and 2, in Genesis 10:15, talks about it too. And as you go on, let us not forget that Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race, fathered a son also, Hagar. Now, Hagar was African, his African servant. He was named Ishmael, or Ishmael. We should understand that the worship of God was in Egypt before the time of Moses. Let us not forget there were three sons of Noah. There were also all were brothers and carried a lot of their father's tradition and belief with them. History tells us through records from the Egyptian hieroglyphic, the god of our Hebrew Laredites forefather in Exodus 3, since they had yet adopted Yahweh or Jehovah in Egypt, hieroglyphics, it is in Hebrew or in Greek or in Latin, who has in fact replaced El Shaddai. Exodus 6:3, a tribal deity without any form of a holy sacred scripture before one was introduced to Moses, named following the latter alleged education in the mystery system. This system provided his knowledge up to his walk on Mount Horeb. It taught Moses, and I want to just say this. God utilizes that mystery system. Moses was taught mathematics, engineering, astrology, all these things. He was taught in Pharaoh's grandson, the art of war. And God trained him to lead his people, trained him to be a leader of a people that he would use to carry his word to all mankind. Amen. And now we need to understand how that goes. Now, what color was the original Hebrews? This should be a major concern of all Bible readers as well as Bible scholars. As blacks and African men and women, we know of the racism and injustice that we face on day-to-day basis. We're the same people who denied us our civil rights, the same people who held us in bondage and slavery, tell us the truth. Now, Timothy wrote, he says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This verse tells us that we Christians need to research the scriptures for ourselves. We know that Abraham is the father of the Hebrew race. The Bible teaches us that Abraham came from Haran. And I told you about that. And his wife Sarah was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abraham, his son, and left and went to Haran. Now, all of these are places that call the land of Nimrod, his son. Now, as he traveled, and they see, they tell us that Nimrod settled in what is known as a rock. You know, and I told y'all about him being a great hunter. They're talking about, and the beginning of his kingdom is Babel, which is Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. About that land went forth the Asher who built Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. To understand the scriptures, one must first know the map of Asia Minor before Abraham's time. The how to identify black people in the Bible is easy. All you have to do is go back to Genesis, the 10th chapter, and look up the genealogy of Ham and look up the genealogy of Shem. Look up the genealogy of Cush, Metharim, Put, and Canaan, and you'll find out who are they. Go back and look up the Cushite, Jebusite, Metharim, Put, Sodom, Amorites, Girgashites, Jebusites, and you'll know just who they are. Let us continue to pay close attention to the crossbreeding of Hebrews and Africans throughout the Bible. It is easy to understand that black on black or black with black or dark plus dark make dark. We've been told for many years that we are inferior. we are cursed, a lower form of a human being. This is not true. Hebrews were dark complexion people throughout the Bible. Hebrews and blacks married and interbreed. Let us look again at Shur, the Canaanite father of Tamar, who was the daughter-in-law of Judah in Genesis 38 and 6 through 30. We should keep in mind in our study of the Bible that Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. The black Shur was the bloodline ancestor to our Savior. His daughter was great-great-great-great-grandparent to Judah through Jacob, grandson, Perez. Tamar had twins for Judah, Zerah and Perez. And out of that come Jesus' lineage. Now, as we pay close attention, because all the way through the Bible, the children of Shem and the children of Ham intermarried. They didn't intermarry with Japheth, which is Caucasian. It's all in your Bible. It's time that we read the Bible for what it exactly says. We have been mistreated just as the Hebrew of ancient times. Studying the Bible, we find crossbreeding between Hebrew and black went on in spite of all the law of Deuteronomy telling them not to take the people for to be their wives and not to marry others. And it wasn't because of a change of color, but yet it was because of the different gods that they worship. They didn't want to idol worshiping to be into the Hebrew race. They wanted the just Jehovah, Yahweh, to be who they served. That's the reason they had strict not to marry. Such restriction exists for religious reason, not race. The Israelites were already a mixed people long before entering and departing Egypt. This is why some scholars and historians have written that Hebrew were African, have African origin. The Greek historian geographer Strabo states that during his lifetime, it was not unusual for a historian to think of Jews to be of black ancestry. Strabo went on to say that Jews living in the west, in Western Judea, were partly African, Egyptian. Roman Tacitus, he supports Strabo by saying Jews were Ethiopian. We're dealing with Alexander the Great now. Let us look back. Let us back up that above statement, Genesis 38, 1 and 11, and Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 2 and 2 chapter 3. Let us go a step further to the history of Iraq. It is written in the World Mark of Nations under the past history that dates back before the time of Abraham in the land of Ur, Chaldeans. Those who inhabited the country were very dark-skinned people. Habitation, shrine, implements, and pottery found on various sites can be dated as far back as 5,000 years. I told you earlier that the Sumerians were what they say they were the cover, they were the color. The color was that of chocolate. Some sites bear names that are familiar to the Bible, which consider the land between the two streams, the location of the garden, and Ur the Chaldees, the native land of the patriarch Abraham. Scientific exploration, archaeological research have amplified and confirmed the systematized the half historical, half legendary Bible report. World Mark of Encyclopedia records history in Mesopotamia begin with the Sumerians, who originally linguistic affinity have yet to be established with certainty. This tells us that Nimrod, the Hamitic, was the founder of the Sumer, who are direct descendants of Ham, who we know was black. Furthermore, if Abraham came from Ur the Chaldees, he was black. To go even deeper into our research, let us travel, take us to the time of Joseph. I told you about Joseph's wife. I told you about him marrying Potipharah's, the priest's daughter, Asenta. I told you about that. I told you about he had the two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they were the grandfather of Joshua. So you know what color Joshua was. Now, when we look back at that, even biblical standards and biblical wise, we find out that all these things point to who we are. And the things that I've listed to you are things that are really, really true. And all we have to do is go back and do our research and study for ourselves. And that way, we won't continue saying that this the Bible is a book, a white book. No, it's not. To understand the Bible, we must understand the history of the Hebrew, the Egyptian, and the Ethiopian. These three black races played a great part throughout the Bible. Let us not stand idle and study history. HISSTORY in America and in Europe. If you study history, even world history, you would think that the only civilization that really had anything going was the European, the Greek, the Romans, the British, Portuguese, and even going further, going to Gog or Magog, going to Russia. Now, I want you in Lithuania. Now, I want you to understand this very well. When and 5,000 years ago, when the pyramids were being made, built, 40 stories tall, I noticed in particular in 2019 and 18, 2000, from in the 2000, for some reason, and I know what the reason is, they always deal with the racial thing. Theoretically, it said that people came from outer space and build a pyramids. Why? Because they knew that they were African, black Arab, African king from the Sudan, black as tar, who built the pyramids. But if you're going to say these people are ignorant, you cannot give them credit for doing that. I submit to you today, Google how many pyramids are there in the Sudan. And you'll find out they have more pyramids in the Sudan that's in Egypt. But now, how could a person in Egypt or Africans build a 40-story structure, a pyramid? How did they know how to embalm? How could they do brain surgery? How could they build these ships to travel abroad before whites ever was able to do it? How could they take and be metallurgists? How could they have chariots? How could they be so much more sophisticated than everyone else? So when you watch television, you watch Ben-Hur and you watch the rest, everybody is white. Or you might find and they got some black slaves. You might see nothing but white people following Moses as he turned and might have a few black slaves along with him. And it's so far from being the truth. If anything would have been a slave, it might have been a white slave coming along with him just to tell the truth. It's important that we understand that the Bible must be understand the history of these group of people. In America and in Europe, the only history we ever know it's the history that's being taught about Europeans. And when we here in America got our rights away from the Europeans, but we don't learn anything about where we came from. the Anglo-Saxon, and their descendants. That's the history we know. One would think no other race had played a part in shaping America or shaping the world. In reading the Bible, one would believe that black skin had no part. This is far from a true fact. Anglos or white had very little part in shaping the Bible, very little. But when they came over, it was the same thing would happen during the Bible time that happened with America and other places. They came over in America and killed and pillaged, the same thing they did when they came to the Holy Land. Even today, there are but a few Anglo-Saxon in Asia Minor today. We have white so-called Jews who were placed in Jerusalem in 1948 after World War II. Other than the 6 million or so whites who I say are not Jews, the remainder of the people are Asians, they're Asia Minor, they're blacks and Arabs. Let us see what Webster Dictionary has to say about Arabs. A member of the Arabic-speaking people, a citizen of the Arabic-speaking nation, a member of the Semitic people, inhabited since ancient times the Arabian Peninsula and the desert fringes of Mesopotamia and Levant, spreading throughout Southwest and North Africa, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates. We've noticed none of these races are Caucasian. None. Let us take a step back and study Ethiopian history. It will support my theory of Ethiopia being the first empire. To go even further, Abraham was a part of an ancient empire, Ethiopian Empire. A book entitled Ethiopia, the Missing Link in American History. Support the theory, page 5 in chapter 5. The ancient empire of Ethiopia comes down to will pass from the Ancient of Days with the richest heritage in history. Ethiopia was considered by the Greeks to be the home of God and a retreat of the masses, a land of fertility, filled with riverbeds of diamonds, with mountains of gold, isles of the blessed, the land of the setting sun, where the giant Atlas was compelled by Olympus Jove to prop up the heavens upon his head and shoulders. The vast desert was lied south of the Atlas, known as the Sahara, is called by the Moors, and the Moors are black people, Moors, the Garden of Allah, where the chariots of the gods, whose flaming wheels burn the soil into sand, scorch the children of Africa, crisp their hair, for which the word Ethiopia is termed, sunburnt by God. The word Ethiopia was originally pronounced Ethiopia, sunburnt face. Now George Smith in the Chaldeans' Account of Creation, page 7, deciphered from the Babylonian text that there was an original race of man at the beginning of the Chaldean history, a dark race who were called Admarah Adama, the people of Ada, Atlantis. Now they go to Mr. Smith, Sacred Annals, page 49. He quotes the Hebrew commentator and said, our rabbis assert that Adam, our father of blessed memory, composed a book of precept which was delivered by God in paradise. Ancient record now in possession of King Haile Selassie. That's Egypt. Haile Selassie, the black Ethiopian king, that Iran was the 35th child of Adam. Josephus, the historian Josephus, who wrote Antiquity of the Jews, Flavius Josephus, page 48, William Winston translates, says that there is an old tradition which said that Adam was the father of 33 sons and 23 daughters. The African language, we find that the African language is the oldest language in the world, and it is birthed and grew before and beyond the flood. The language that we call Hebrew is nothing but a deviation of the African tongue. R.G. Layton, in his book, Man and His Migration, page 156 to 157, on Ethiopia says, in the language of the Abyssinia, the G of the Tigris admits, as long as they have been known to be Semitic graduates through Amharic, the places are black Ethiopian Jews today, that they have 26,000 that's over in the Holy Land now. Haraji and Gophet and other language which may be well studied in Dr. BK's valuable comparative table into Agon tongue are equivalently indigenous to Abyssinian and through this unto the true Negro class, but unequivalently as many to be Semitic elements of Beecher, Coptic, or Gala. And you know, the Gala is what a lot of people that did that was over here came from Africa and who came and they were around Virginia and Carolina. They spoke Gala. Their infinity with the tongue of Western and Southern Africa are more so. The Bible teaches that those who became Jews in Egypt as 70 shepherds, grouped in 12 patriarchal families. 400 years later, they left as 600,000 strong men and women, not counting the children. In 400 years of enslavement in the United States, it would be very hard to find a pure-blooded African. This transpired through the breeding, the crossbreeding of slaves and masters. This is why today we have some blacks who look white. You can call an African-American a rainbow, from the lightest color of the spectrum to the darkest color of the spectrum. This happened to the Jews in Egypt. But they came in bondage in Egypt with black skin color and left even darker because of interbreeding with the Egyptian. This is nothing new. Dr. William Moseley, who wrote What Color Was Jesus, with many other scholars, support the fact on page 7. Mr. Moseley writes, so if the original Hebrew were non-white stock, we may conclude that the original Israelite would consider more black at the time of the Exodus than present-day Israelite. Furthermore, historical record states that ancient Israelites, Egypt and Ethiopia were not only close geographically, but were also close socially, culturally, economically, and politically. Both sacred and secular writing describe the presence of Ethiopian people in Egypt and Israel from the Exodus to the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going to stop right here today, tonight, with you guys. It's my prayer that I said something that open your eyes. They're dealing with the origin of black mankind coming from Africa to the Garden of Eden, to God creating man from the dust of the earth. I've never seen white dirt. I've never seen pink dirt. And I showed to you the fact, and I gave you different books and about the cure forms and different annals that was written in hieroglyphs that showed that blacks were the people who the Bible was written about. Now, I ask that God would bless us, and I pray that this would encourage others and motivate others to do some research. Find out who you are. We left a place in Africa and came to America not knowing who we are. We lost our language. We lost our culture. We lost everything, our history. All of that was taken away and brought into a European culture and learned a European history that has nothing to do with us. The only thing that the culture in America, the European culture in America do, is belittle us as somebody inferior who was a slave and who that they hung, beat, and raped. And even to the day, some injustices still prevail by how they mistreat us. Even in this time, for some reason, and most of us know the reason, more blacks making up only a little more than 13 or 14% of America is dying of COVID-19. Why is it that way? Why I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, why is it 70% in the state of Louisiana? We make up 33%, but yet 70% of those dying from COVID-19 are African-American. Michigan, same thing. Other states, same thing, that less population are blacks. More are dying. And let us understand, if we only make up a small percentage of the United States, there are still more whites with high blood pressure than blacks, because there are so many much more in population and numbers that overpopulate us. They say it's because of poverty. There are more whites on welfare than blacks. Diabetes, there are more whites suffer with diabetes than blacks. Not, you know, per capita, yes, we are number, but as if you look over the whole country as a whole, they do suffer from it more than us. But why is it that we are the ones dying from it? You know, we need to really, really do some research, find out who we are, where we came from, and let no man belittle us. Because I stopped by today to tell you that you are special. God call you. God is want to use you. You are a blessed people. Thinking about Deuteronomy 28 and 68, that it told us, said that the children of Israel would leave and go into bondage by ship and be sold. No one would buy them, but that we'll be sold afar off. I just finished reading about the Gullah language, and they had some slaves that came to an American show. They call them Gullah. And the Gullah people, most of them were called Igbos. And they say that the Igbo could be the tribe of Judah, because as you look at the map of Africa in 1747, you'll see a place that say KM Judah. In other words, the kingdom of Judah. And we know that at AD 70 that the children of Judah and Benjamin and other children of Israel fled from the Roman conquest and into Africa. We're going to talk about the Igbos or the Igbos, and we're going to talk about the Limbos in future nights coming up. But I want us to pay close attention, and the very reason I go back, because I want to let you know everything originated in Africa, that you are time, why do you have dominant genes? Why are your genes dominant, not recessive? A recessive gene means that come from a mutation. We have albino children and come from two black parents. It's a recessive gene. Something is missing out, and then that person come out almost just totally different. I'm not going to say a misfit, but look so different. And that would happen to the world in changing the people that left Africa. They went through a mutation. You get a chance, look up what the word a mutant or a mutation means. And you'll find out just what, and they'll tell you that whites went through a mutation when they left Africa. That's why they look. They're not smart. No smarter than you. Once one professor wanted to say that the Neanderthal people, their cranium, their skull was larger, meaning their brain was larger, what made them smarter. On last week, I think I ended it by saying, man outthink an elephant, but yet his head is larger. Man can outthink a whale, but yet the whale's skull is larger. That does not mean because the skull is larger, a person have more knowledge. That has nothing, that called from the innate ability which would God give us. That would come from within, the abilities what God have given us. The Bible says he's given us certain measures of faith and knowledge. Amen. Pastor Hadron.
God bless you.
For supporting this program. I thank you for coming up with an idea that we need to inform our people how great we truly are and where we came from. And I pray that something I said, something would incite someone to do some research, more of us to do the research and pass it on to our children and our grandchildren to let them know they are somebody. That Bible that they pick up and read, that we've been reading for so many years, speaks volume of us and how great a people we are. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Dr. Kim, thank you, Pastor, for that powerful show. You ready to open up the lines, Pastor? Pastor Kim?
We're ready. We're ready. Hello? Hello?
Okay, sir. About to open up the lines.
Okay.
Everybody, God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm about to open up the line so you can speak with Dr. Kim. Got questions or anything, statements, comments? The line is now open for you. God bless you. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello?
I think God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Pastor Joseph.
Yes, sir. I thank God for the truth tonight. Yes, thank God for the truth tonight. It's just like a bone truth. Our black history is so true. And I thank God, you know, because there was a problem, you know, just being able to solve this problem and just being better understanding is very, very important. And hearing this tonight, it just let me know that you are absolutely part of this solution. You know, there's no way you could keep, you know, African Americans out. And I'm just convinced more just hearing all this bone and truth on Tuesday night that we are absolutely part of the solution. Just an honor to know that we're part of this solution and we can pin our head up high and march forward. And in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for the great teaching. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. It's, you know, the things that concern in the Bible that since it was translated by King James in the Europeans, it's a saying, he who write the narrative, and they make the people be the color they want them. All the people in the Bible are white and Caucasians did not come from North Africa, because in 1900 they put the Suez Canal, and they dug that. But when they dug that canal, it's close to 100 miles long, but it's a canal where they allow ships to pass through from the Mediterranean Sea that go through the Suez Canal, that go to the, okay, that then they go to the Gulf of Suzan, and from the Gulf of Suzan to the Red Sea, and then you could go in the Indian Ocean. It's a shortcut to get to India from America or from Europe. Just pass through that Suez Canal. Well, all the land was joined, and if you read your Bible stories, it talks about lions and other animal that's only in Africa. Many years ago, it was classified as North. Pope Nicholas VI is the person who signed a referendum for slavery back during those times. The church, what they call the Anglican Church, they had to sign and make it okay for slavery. And the inhumane treatment, no Christian could do it. Even today, I would even say that America is by far nowhere a Christian nation by the things that we allow and the things that's done. And specifically, the white pastors who I would call so many of those evangelical preachers who don't mind a black man being killed. They don't mind the suffering. They don't mind the 725 hour. They don't mind these things. Long as it's not them, their family have to go through that suffering or indignation, and they vote for somebody like Donald Trump. And what Christian could vote for a bigot, misogynist, xenophobic? Who could vote for that? Vote for someone like that? And knowing that the man told about 38,000 lives in less than 4 years, you couldn't do it. But by the way, if you do your study and your research, you'll find out. Also, if I would submit to you, those of you who are pretty studious, you know how to use your phone or your computer, and just go to Zondervan Bible Dictionary definition of ham, and they would tell you that ham is the youngest son of Noah, who was one of the eight who lived through the flood, and that he's the progenitor of the dark race, Ethiopia, Egypt, which now, this is white dictionary that says this. Now they want to make, because they can't figure out how the pyramids was made, and that this is advanced civilization, and they don't want to give black folk credit for anything. They change it, but they say Ham is a progenitor of the dark race. That's Ethiopia, Egypt, and then it also say Libya and Canaan land. And you know, Canaan is the holy land, and where Jerusalem is today. That's Zion. That's it. All you have to do is look up. But now, when he said that, but they say Ham is not the progenitor of the Negroes. Keep looking. Look it up when you do it. Do Zondervan Bible Dictionary and say he is not the progenitor. He's the progenitor of one part of the dark race, but one part of dark race he's not the progenitor. That's the Negro. And the name that we were called in the 60s were Negroes. I mean, we changed it to I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black. Then we went to African-American, colored, Negro, black, African-American. We changed it several different times. Now, some are now taking their own step to say black Israelites or black Hebrew Israelites. And they're not lying. They're not lying by far. A white person is not Israelite. I mean, that's not true. They know it's not true. Believe me, they know it's not true. This is one more thing, and I'm going to take the next question. If you go back in 1952 and look up, his name is Gamal Abdel Nasser. He's the president. He was the president of Egypt in 1952. He went on national television and made a speech. And you could Google it on your phone, President Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech in 1952, where he said, "How can you leave black and come back white?" He said, "You Hebrew-speaking Gentile." Gentile is a non-Israelite, you won't say Jew, whatever, but you Hebrew-speaking Gentile. You will never be accepted in this land. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept you. That's the people. See, the people that live in the Holy Land today, the whites that live there today, that's bombing these Palestinians who they've taken their land from them, just as people took the land from the Indians with the Caucasians, America. They're bombing them, but they gave them the land in 1948, not many years ago, okay? Really, what, 73 years ago, they gave them the land. That's all. 3 years ago, that's how long they've been in the Holy Land, those white folk that's living there now. But America give them billions of dollars. Say, how can you leave black and come back white? We, the Arab League, we refuse to accept you. That's why the people don't accept them. That they know they are no way the true Israelites, because the true Hebrew Israelites were black. Amen. God bless you. We have anyone else have a question or have something they would like to share with us tonight?
Hello? Are there any more questions? Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I had an article that I really wanted to share, but I can't get my hands on it. I got in late from work. I was doing a little work, and I had to stay over longer than I anticipated. But it was concerning some things about our heritage here in America, but it was concerning a thing called the Trans-Mississippi. But I can't get my hand on that article, so I'm going to save it for another program. When I get my hand on it, I'll be able to better state what the article is saying. But I really enjoyed the program, and thank you so much.
Okay. I really appreciate you bringing it up, but we're just going to lightly touch, and then when you find that article, I want you to share with those who are listening, because it truly will be a blessing. Those who don't know, during the Civil War, they had what they call the Battle of Baton Rouge, and in Louisiana, they fought battles. And the United States, so the Union soldiers pushed the Confederate soldiers all the way back across the other river, which is called West Baton Rouge. The city today is named Port Allen. General Allen is named after Confederate General Allen. And the reason why I know in Alabama, everywhere, all over you know about Juneteenth. The reason the slaves did not get to really know that they were free, because the Union soldiers just didn't push themselves to West Baton Rouge and go over and push the Union soldiers out and go on to Texas and let the people know that they were free. And so that man's name is General Allen, and they have a place in what they call West Baton Rouge, on the west bank of Baton Rouge. It's called Port Allen, Louisiana. But we call it West Baton Rouge Parish. You know, in any other state, it would be Baton Rouge would be East Baton Rouge County, and it would be West Baton Rouge County. But we operate all parishes. But I want you to really share that article, because I know all over the United States, blacks celebrate Juneteenth, and that's when the slaves in Texas knew that they were free. And it was a quiet afterwards when that happened, when they found out that they were free. So they stayed in bondage longer than they were supposed to. But Brother George, yes, I would love for you to share that with that article and read that article whenever you get an opportunity. And I appreciate you for tuning in. Do we have anybody else that would like to share something, have something they would like to share, a question they would like to ask pertaining to, it could be biblical, dealing with anthropology, genetics. I didn't too much get too heavy into the genetics part of it, but I did tell you that whites are no more than a mutation of blacks. You talk about COVID-19 right now, and you say there are different variants of it. You know, there's a South American, there's a variant from South Africa, the UK variant. It mutated. It's a different strand. It came off the COVID-19. It comes off of COVID, but it's a variant. In other words, it mutated into just a little different. And if you would think about a mutation in life by a human being, with the human race. Now, the word mutation is a change of structure of genes resulting in a variant form that may transmit to subsequent generations caused by an alteration of a single base unit in DNA or deletion or insertion or arrangement of a large section of genes. Mutation is the only way in which new variants in our species. That's why we look different through mutation. If you look, everyone came from someone black, but through mutation. They say a depletion or insertion. The depletion is melanin. All you have to do is look at black folk could make albino. And I'm just going to say this, and I'm really, really confounded that folk have never asked the question that I've been pondering. Why do Caucasian never call themselves albino? If you have a white tiger, it's albino. If it's a white catfish, it's albino. Or white, if it's a white whatever dolphin, albino. Whatever, when it comes out white, it's albino, but not the white race. Both of them, with the albino and with the and with white people, both lack melanin. There are people in Africa who have straight hair, never been interbreeded. There are people in Africa that's not jet black. The darkest skinned of individuals in Africa are people from different one section of the Sudan. All the people out of the Sudan are not. Egypt was ruled by Nubians for years. All in the 18th dynasty, that's when others start coming in around 18th dynasty. No, they were not. I mean, if you see pictures of Egypt, everyone's white. Egyptians were black. Ethiopians were black, or still is black. It's something that you're going through. Those who are there now, and you can look this up, those who are in Egypt today are called nomadic Arabs. They're people, they're Arabs. They're from the Middle East. They're not really. And when the people first left Africa, they stopped first in the Middle East or Asia, and that they went, and then they left out of Asia. That was AD, 70,000 years ago when they started leaving Africa. And the further they got away from the equator, they started changing. Their complexion got lighter. They went up in Egypt. They went through mutations. They started looking at things. And then I'm not going to go too far in it, but if you look up Gregoire Mendel, Mendel's law, I'll tell you about the law of assortment, the law of separation, and things like that, and segregation. And that when you get people, if they turn to be albinos and they just start mating with one another and one another, you get a whole albino race. The Caucasian race is the smallest race of people in the world is Caucasian. They only make up 850 million people out of 7.9 billion. And the whole earth, they only make 11%. But you can find them on every continent, trying to dominate every continent because they are warmongers. And it's the truth. But no one want to put the true history because they write the books, they over the media, so no one tell the truth about history. Anybody did what they done and came and killed the people in America and took their land, gave them disease, killed them, took their land, and went and kidnapped the race of people, came and worked them to death to build and build a whole country for them. They'll be called savages. But we celebrate. We celebrate it. But if the truth be told, they're no more than terrorist savages. The ones that did that, it's true. Amen. God bless you. We have anyone else have a question they would like to ask? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I do. Well, I don't know if it's so much of a question, but just from listening tonight, I just wonder, in the things that you talked about tonight, does this refer to the one verse I've always had questions about? Those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. Can you touch on that, if I'm anywhere in the same category? Because it just seems like we've been kept out of history, not only in the school books, but in the Bibles, too, because everything has changed.
Correct. Okay. Now, the dominant people, you know, you say everything works in a cycle. It repeats itself, right? Life repeats itself. Once blacks control the world, now someone else doing it. But it's going to revert. The last going to come back is going to be first. God is not sleeping on what's going on, and I will go along with you on that. He's not gonna sleep, and you are his people. You know, we don't understand that God will move. We want God to move when we want him to move. God does not operate on our time schedule. God is sovereign. He's over everything. I was reading in Isaiah, I think that's 29:16. He was turning something upside down or inside out or how he was saying. And what he was talking about, like the potter and the clay, he was saying that how can the clay tell the potter something, how to do something? And what we do, we try to tell God, but God is the creator. God told Job, where were you when I did this? Man think we have figured everything out, and they have different races of people that's really Caucasian. The Caucasian race is trying to control the whole world. They messed up when they brought blacks over here in Deuteronomy 28:68, where it says that we'll be brought in back into subjection of bondage, because in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel came, were free from bondage, and they were in the Holy Land. But they were living in the Holy Land, the children of Israel, that which were black. They are in the Holy Land. So they say, but they will go back in the bondage in Egypt. Now, some scholars have said Egypt simply meant place of bondage, a house of bondage. That was the meaning of the name. Now, there are other names for Egypt. The first real name of Egypt is Metherum. Now, many of the Greek and the Latin people call the people the Kims, the Kemet, the land of Kim. And it was called the land of blacks. That was Kemet. But now the scholars, since they painted everybody white, now, if the pictures in the tombs will tell you something different, that they were black. Some of the painting is peeling off, and they start whitewashing a little bit. But if you look at 90% of the pictures, it shows you that they were black. Now they've taken, and it's so astonishing that you would shoot the nose off of different statues. The nose is a show. Why are you shooting the nose off? Why are the nose misplaced? Why did you burn the library? They burned Alexander Egypt. They burned it when Alexander Great went there. He burned the library. He the one shot the nose off the Sphinx. It's so many things that been hidden so much from blacks until now I know why they never wanted us to read. Because let me tell you, when you find out who you are, you can take everything from a man when you take that culture. The culture that we practice today is European culture. Everything that we do in America is a European culture. And we tend to think that the African culture is a bad culture because we were born and raised in a European culture. And they make fun of the way the people talk, the way they dress, the way they look. The Native Americans, if you look at the feathers and the different colors that the Native Americans had on, they were pretty much just like Africans. And by the way, ask a question of your computer or your phone why they always said that Native Americans are Indian copper as a penny. Take the penny and put it up, Brother Daniel. Put it by your skin and find out that copper penny will be as dark as you. That was the color of the Native Americans who they found here. That was the color. But they've been interbreeded so much you can't tell a Native American from a white, just like you can't tell some of us from white. But they did it the same thing they did to us. They did it to the Native American. It's a lot in there. But the first going to be last. It's moving that way now. Why you think they're doing different things about the voting? Because sooner or later, the dark people, brown and black people, going to be outnumbered, going to be the majority, and they're going to rule the country. That's why they say we got to take our country back. And that's why they don't want, only people they want to come in as people from Europe, where they could keep adding on to their population, but not add on to the population of people of color. So they know in the next, I think they say about 40 years or so, between the African Americans and the Latino population, that they will, you know, with those two together will surpass the population of Caucasians in America. And so President Trump and the GOP is fighting everything they can to keep that from happening. But yeah, it's about to rise up, and believe me, the last is going to end up being first. God have his way. God does not sleep. And yes, I could agree with you that God is. See, when Jesus told them where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, where he was talking about, and he was saying, and if you ever do research on it, I'm going to have to make it short. If you ever do research on the Sermon on the Mount, people wonder why I say, blessed be the poor spirit, blessed be the poor at heart. And what the people was looking for Jesus to get up and speak about money and speak about blessing. But Jesus didn't get up and speak about that. He was speaking about the lowly of heart, the peacekeepers, and may they'll be the peacekeeper. Everything, everybody talking about the poor and lowly, and he elevated them. And what he was telling them, the people that they despise more, that he would elevate. And so, yes, I do agree with you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. I appreciate you tuning in. We have another. You have anything else you'd like to add? Do you have something you want to add tonight?
I'm on the line, but I don't think y'all hear me.
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
I hear you. Yes, I hear
okay.
you.
Okay, well, look, I'm calling out Little Rock, Pastor Kemp know me. And I'm from Baton Rouge.
Okay, Brother.
I listened at the show tonight. It's my first time really listening at the Bible. Well, biblical and a black perspective. And I've seen just how much I didn't know about black history when it comes down to standard or whatever, you know, that's in the Bible. And as I listened all night for the hour, the over hour tonight, I listened at things. I didn't know. I read some of the Bible, most of the Old Testament, but when you say read, that's what it did. It's not really studying it at all. You know, I understood a lot of things that I never understood because of, you know, I didn't get it out the Bible that way. And like I say, you know, I'm almost 70 years old, and it's my first time really having a real Bible study, you know, concerning the heritage of black people, you know, because like you only know what you read and what you presented to you. And then if you don't get deep down in it, a lot that you don't know, and you're not going to have many programs like y'all had tonight. So, you know, y'all expounded on things that happened, in, you know, from Genesis, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah and these different books, which was good. It was things I didn't know that opened up things to me. Then it also made me understand sometimes how ignorant we are as a people because we really don't know, including myself. And so a lot of times I think some of us will get on each other, but it's more or less that we were taken other places and we didn't know our history. We still don't know it. And because, like, even with this program on tonight, just a rare program. It's the first time I ever heard one like this in my life, okay? And then you're expounding on the COVID, all that stuff. I'm familiar with that. I had a brother die with it recently. And even before he died, I always felt like the treatment was different between blacks and other races, you know, along with every other plague coming in America. You know, the minorities are the ones that always die. And, you know, like this guy just talked about first to the last, and those who may be first may be last, and those last may be first. When I tried to read the Bible and try to study it, and when Jesus was talking, I always thought that he was a fair God, you know, and it doesn't matter where you start, it doesn't matter where you end up, you know, like when he paid the people different prices at different time of day, the price was the same. And, you know, that showed me that he's fair. And it's like that today, you know, and like I say, you know, like he talked about Timothy, you got to study to show yourself approved. The night I never studied none of this, you know, I passed through it reading as I was grasping through the Bible. But like I say, the Bible is a book that if you don't find out the meaning of all these definitions in there, you'll never know what you're really reading. So your understanding is not going to be what it should. And it takes people to open up these books if you have time to listen. And like I say, it's hard because this is my first time ever even listening at it, but I went all the way through the program because it was something I didn't know about. You know, I knew about these different rivers and Nile and where the Pharisees and all these. I heard about them. I read about them in the Bible, but I didn't know the meaning of them. And so these things opened up to me tonight. And, you know, and like I'm going to start listening to this program because, like I say, you know, Pastor Kemp invited me, and I made myself stay woke. And like I say, it was something totally different. And, you know, I know how to read the Bible pretty good in the European way, you know, because I basically had read the King James. And like I say, you know, but I didn't understand what it meant, you know, until Pastor Kemp opened it up tonight. And I'm going to be studying some more, you know, because, like, I always like to find out things myself. And I'm just happy y'all had a program on here tonight. I'm happy I was invited to do it because I had a lot of things on my mind today. And not only day, I always have things on my mind every day, you know, when it comes down to life, especially being black and why we act and don't act like we should as people or don't appreciate ourselves as people. And I think if most people listening to these kind of programs, it'll help us to do that. We'll stop attacking each other. We'll stop downgrading each other. You know, then we'll start realizing that all of us are equal something great, not just anything. And you know, it's sad that a lot of times we look at ourselves as lower than those white folks do. And, you know, we don't have to do that, you know, because regardless of how somebody look at me, I look at myself as being important, you know, because I'm an individual, and that's what God made us as. And each individual got to find his own self. And you know, we always something in God's eyesight. And then until we understand that, we're going to always stab each other back. We're always going to kind of contradict each other. But we believe what that other man tell us. And that's the saddest thing about living in America. We believe the propaganda more than we believe the truth. And that's what they feed us. And that's all I got to say tonight because, actually, I wasn't planning on saying this much, but y'all went into different phases. And, you know, I took some of all of it, and then I did take a few notes. And, you know, when I read my Bible, I go to these places that Pastor Kim brought up, and then I try to understand it more so. But, you know, I appreciated your program tonight, and I'm glad I was able to get in.
God bless you, Brother Russell. When you're reading Genesis, whenever you read Genesis, I want you to try to learn the name, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Hittites, you know, the Perizzites, you know, the Ammonites, and all these are Jebusites and things like that. These are people who were of African descent, and the Bible is filled with them. Moses, it was Black Egypt, and they said if the children of Israel were white, and they told them to kill all the firstborn white children, how could a white kid baby be raised up in Pharaoh's house? They all were the same color. Joseph's brother, when Joseph went to prison and he was sold in bondage of Egypt, Joseph's brother thought he was an Egyptian. When Moses ran, killed the Egyptian, and he ran to the land of Midian, he met his wife, which was an black woman, Ethiopian woman. She told her father, not that she met somebody that wasn't black, they met an Egyptian. And the Egyptian, and if you ever know anything about it, the Ethiopian and Egyptian are really much the same people. They're brothers. They're African. Okay, so all the way through. And then if you look up David, David was Judah. Judah married, not married, but Judah had a son. His son died and left a wife named Tamar. Tamar, in return, didn't have a son for an old enough son for her to marry him. And what he did, she dressed, put a veil over her face, being a widower, and Judah was going along the highway and seen her sitting around with a veil. He gave his signet ring and his staff, and he went into her. He had sex with her. And when he noticed that his daughter-in-law was pregnant and his son was dead, he went to stone her. But she gave him back his signet ring and his staff. She had twins, Zerah and Perez. From Perez, Perez had a son named Hezron. Hezron had a son named Solomon. Solomon married the black prostitute Rahab, which was not Solomon black, because his mother black. Now, he was married a black prostitute Rahab, and then after they had a child, the child name was Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, and Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. Obed had Jesse had David. It's black all the way through. You can read it. It's right there for you. It's right there.
I skirted through all those books. You know, I skirted through them, and that's just what I did. I skirted is not studying. So I could say I didn't study them the right way. But like I said, I got a map now where I could look into some of this stuff.
When I got my master's degree, I wrote my dissertation. I wanted to know about blacks in the Bible. So I had all kind of books I was looking, researching. I did all kind of researching. And so I picked up a lot of things because I was curious. I wanted to know, every angel white, the prophets, the patriarchs, you know, the disciples, everybody, the kings, everyone is white. And come to think about it, white folk didn't come from that part of the country.
Huh.
And if you don't think that, I'm going to tell you, look up LEMBA, Lemba people. And they're going to tell you that there are real Hebrew Israelites, and they live in Zimbabwe, Africa. They're darker than me or you. And when they took their DNA, they found out that they were the priestly tribe of Levi. Look up Igbo. Most of the slaves that's in America today carry Igbo blood. They're supposed to be the tribe of Judah or someone. They're all over. The ones in Ethiopia, the tribe of Dan, they call them Beta Israel. But the people over there now, the white people over there are not Israelites. They just took up the Jewish religion and they practiced. They're no more than what you call a proselyte. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
God bless you. Is there anyone else? Reverend William, it seems that there's no one else. Do you have anything that you'd like to share with us tonight?
No, just a powerful show tonight, Pastor. Thank you for everybody that called in and was a part of it. Those that are listening by way of internet, God bless you. Don't forget to meet us back here tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be back. Dr. Kemp is here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Put it on your calendar. Put a reminder in there to get here and get your history class. Get taught what real history is all about. That's it, sir. Thank you for a powerful show. And our prayers are with you and your family, Pastor. God bless you.
Brother Russell and also Brother Daniel sort of touched on these type of programs we don't have. And I just want to say, I want to thank Reverend William for giving a part of his radio talk show, because he have different talk shows by radio. He have different talk shows for different ministries. And he and I was talking, and he wanted to make sure that blacks, African-Americans or blacks, just get this the truth, because it's been, whites are not going to tell you this. Whites are not going to tell you that they've lied to you, because if they tell you that Jesus was black, then Jesus is God in the flesh. So their children, long as they put this brown hair, blonde hair guy with blue eyes sitting up there, and you put him in your church and have everybody bowing down to him, and it was no one looked like that over at that time. So now that's what's going on. And so we're going to always be subservient and think that we're nobody, because even when they show Ben-Hur and everything, the only thing they show on Moses and things is nothing but white people in Egypt, black people slaves, and that's not true. That was not the truth. And so when it's time that the truth be told, if you start telling them about it, they will tell you that's just Hollywood and we shouldn't worry about that. We shouldn't worry about what color Jesus is. We just praise God. Well, why don't you make him black, and then you live with your children believing in that false agenda? Tell your children about that the so-called Pope was the one that signed the referendum for slavery, for children to be sold from their mothers to be raped, lynched, burned. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. The Catholic Church and some Asians, too, they had slaves. But also the Native Americans had slaves, too. I think they had 4,000 slaves, the Native Americans. They had 4,000 slaves. But that's it tonight. God bless each and everyone who tuned in tonight. I pray it was something said or done that gave us more knowledge of God's word, and also more knowledge of just us, ourselves, knowledge of who we are and what God would have us to do. So, and God want us to know who we are. And I think that we're so full of low self-esteem because we don't really know who we are. And we haven't studied, we think so low of ourselves because nothing has been taught to us in the school system, in the public school system or private school system. Everything is a lie, that white lie to make them feel that they're very important and to make us feel that we're not important. I thank everyone again for tuning in. God bless you. Merciful eternal Father, we come in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, we come asking, Lord, that you would open our hearts and that you open our minds, that we were receptive to your word. Now, Lord, bless us and strengthen us, Lord. We're going through so many changes in this country, which is America. We ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that as we study, Lord, and as we take in these things, that we learn to study your word, and more importantly, Lord, that we do as you say. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We can't do nothing without you. There are so many people who have lost loved ones, Lord. Now, Lord, and we're going through so much in our life, Lord. I ask that you would bless our home, make our homes of love, homes of peace, and homes of prayer. Continue to help us to uplift the name of Jesus and draw others, black, white, rich, and poor, draw them all closer to us. And let us be truthful. Others haven't been truthful to us, but let us be truthful to others. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you. And there's nothing that we could do but praise you. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love everybody, black, white, rich, or poor. And there's nothing you could do about it. I love you. There's nothing you could do about it. God bless you. Much love.
God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. This show was being sponsored by United Theological Seminary and Bible College. You be blessed. Good night, everybody. We thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains. Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.